Good morning, and thank you for listening to the IFU Market Podcast, brought to you by Mountaintop Data. We are the only podcast that markets the shit out of it. I'm your host, Sky Cassidy, joined by co-host Carla Jo Helms.
Hi, guys.
And today we'll be talking with Andrea Freirier about agile marketing. Andrea is the co-founder of Agile Sherpas, the world's leading agile marketing training organization, where she works with marketing teams of all shapes and sizes to transform their marketing operations. She's the author of Death of a Marketer, which talks about marketing's troubled past and charts a course for a more agile future. And Andrea is also a certified agile coach, an agile leader, and a certified Scrum at Scale practitioner and Scrum master. All right, Andrea,
you're a badass.
Thrilled to have you on today. You are a badass.
Can we just you know, bring it down to that point? I love the name of your book.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. My husband keeps telling me I need to write a sequel with like a more uplifting title.
Well, you know, I haven't read your book, but I'm sure it's chock full of good data, and it probably does give people hope.
It does. It is on a good note.
You could, you know, the birth of the new marketer, the birth of the agile marketer, right?
Tell your husband,
we got you. I love this agile marketer.
Yeah. Agile marketing, today's topic. Lots to talk about with that. But before we get into that, and I'm going to continue probably using five variations of your name during this episode. Sorry about that. I'll just call you different things like, so sport, before we talk about agile marketing, can we learn a little more about you, kind of your path, your history, how you got to where you're at, your company, that kind of good stuff?
Yeah. So I'm not a marketer by training. I have an English degree as well as a women's studies degree. So my parents are delighted that I actually make money somehow, because there was question about that for a while.
We're concerned.
Yeah.
I have a degree in photography, so I know how it feels.
Yeah, and then we end up in marketing, so that's always fun. My first job out of college was at a newspaper syndicate. So I was supposed to be an editorial assistant, and they were redesigning their website and realized no one in the building really had any idea how to do that. And so I got put in charge of it because I was the youngest person at the company. So I probably knew the most about websites. And then of course, once you have a website, you need people to come to it. So that translated into SEO and SEM. And then eventually I came around to content marketing, where it was like, oh, look, I have an English degree and I'm a marketer, and that is an actual job now. So yeah, it's been great being kind of having content marketing come around and be the new way of marketing. And that was a really great fit for me. So I was a content marketer and a content strategist at a SaaS company when I discovered agile marketing. And I started writing about what we were doing when we started adopting it, and lots more people would email me and say, this is cool, can you help us do the same thing? Until the point where I thought, I bet I could just do this as my job and just help other teams figure out how to make this work.
Can you define agile marketing for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a variation on agile software development, which is essentially going away from these giant big bang plans where we have the big, huge marketing plan that spans 5 years, and we're going to go and do that no matter what happens. We're going to execute that plan. Away from that and into more of the short-term, iterative, customer-centric, which tends to get left out of the description a lot, but customer-centric work that we can put out in front of real people as quickly as possible, learn what they think about it, and then iterate on it rapidly. So we're doing stuff every couple of weeks as opposed to like 4 quarterly ginormous campaigns.
So is that regardless of company? I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a startup strategy almost, where you're just constantly measuring and feedback loop and feed. Is that something that, I mean, large corporations are using this same practice? Are you eliminating a lot of the oversight and giving people more autonomy? Like, how does that, versus I think the waterfall, they call it, in software approach.
Yeah.
How does that work with a large organization? Do the top people have to give up a lot of their control?
So the distinction that we like to draw is between the what and the how. So the top brass, the marketing leadership, is still very much responsible for saying what's important. What are the priorities? What are the big things we're trying to achieve as a marketing function? But then to say, all right, teams. You're the experts in how to get that done. If I need you to grow our email subscriber base by 30% this year, how are you going to do that? Go figure that out. That's the how. And really empowering teams to figure it out is the sort of difference there. And when you can achieve that, then it's much easier to get to those rapid iterative cycles, because you don't have to have 10 people approve everything 4 times, right? And it goes through like all the things. But it does happen at the enterprise level. You really have to have a system that people trust, right? You can approve the process so that then you don't have to approve everything that goes through the process. And we have to identify safe touch points, right? So there's got to be like gates that things need to go through. And even like, for instance, the financial institutions that we work with, they still have legal review and compliance stuff that has to happen. It's not going to go away. But when at least marketing can move faster, you're still shortening that loop quite a lot, even right. if you still have to do like legal and compliance.
You're not talking about agile for the whole company necessarily. Just, I mean, agile marketing. We're focusing on the marketing part.
Yep.
So they probably don't have as many things that have to be run up the flagpole, run through legal, although we still see all the time people saying, oh, we got to run this by legal. And then sometimes I wonder how things get by legal when I see them out there. But, I was watching.
I like, because legal doesn't know a lot about marketing. They're just looking for very, you know.
That's why their default setting is no. It's on our approved list. I was watching America's Got Talent last night, and they had this show on with these guys that were doing these super dangerous things, and I thought, how did this get by legal? I mean, I know I'm sitting here, I was sweating watching them do it. I was like, they're gonna put
major
this fear through this guy's head
contract.
Yeah, I was like, how did insurance write this off? How did legal let this happen? Because I legitimately think these guys are just, they might kill each other.
And we digress.
This could happen.
Andrea, I do have a question. What size companies do you normally work with?
We are all over the map, interestingly enough. We've done as small as 5 people at a little boutique agency. And our biggest is 2,000 plus at a pharmaceutical company. So it's all over the place.
Is it easier to be more agile with the smaller companies?
In some ways, yes, but there's also more potential for a single person to be the bottleneck and like the impediment, right? So if 1 out of 5 people is like, I don't know, I'm going to drag my feet, then it can really slow things down. Whereas
but also,
inertia.
If you've got 3 people on your whole marketing team, it seems like a lot of the agile practices are trying to remove the oversight layers to let people be more autonomous. But the marketing team is made up of your CEO and a marketing person and an intern. How are you going to, like, you can't be more autonomous. You're already right there. It's so small already. Are there practices that still apply?
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside absolutely. Of the whole removing the size and letting the team be the team?
Yeah. If the team is already the team, then you're already, you know, a good portion of the way there. But there's a lot of more, sort of work level practices that are really powerful. Like my absolute favorite thing is work in progress limits or WIP limits. And essentially you apply this while you're doing work. And the idea is the less work you do at one time, the faster everything gets done, which is super counterintuitive, but
not at all. We've been beat into our head that, yeah, there's people used to always put, and I think they still do put on their resumes, that they're great at multitasking.
Right.
I say, did you think about that? Because I know this was a hot thing in the early 2000s and 90s and stuff, but it's BS. So you're basically saying you have a multitask restrictor plate on the marketing department saying,
that's smart.
Try getting something done instead of having longer to-do lists.
I knew a researcher one time that would only work every 4 hours. So he would work on these research projects 4 hours. He'd sleep for 4 hours, work for 4 hours, sleep for 4 hours. When he had to get it done, it's kind of like a developer.
Right? Sounds kind of lazy.
Got a lot done. Yeah. Or, you know, if he didn't sleep, he'd go do something else. But
yeah, I mean, study after study proves that you don't multitask, right? You switch from thing to thing because brains can only do one thing at a time. And so then it's actually a waste in the system that moving from task to task. And so if you can fix your focus for an extended period of time, then you just get more done. But that's for marketers in particular, we're really, really bad at doing that. And so creating systems that force us to do it help a lot. Like I have a personal board, a personal Kanban board, and I have a WIP limit of 2 on my board. I'm a single person doing that board myself. And so the WIP limit has to be really, really low.
What is WIP stand for again?
I bump up against it. Work in progress.
That's right. Okay.
Yep.
A WIP limit. So, I'm going to start using that. That's past my WIP limit. I love it.
And people are going to say, what is she talking about? Carla Jo's just blah, blah, WIP limit, WIP limit, WIP limit. That's going to be the buzz.
I got to be cool like you with that name.
So it sounds, Andrea. Andrea, it sounds like there's some different kind of different modules within this agile marketing. You've got your team management and limiting the size and the oversight and allowing the team to be more fluid and turn ideas around faster and iterate and whatnot. And then you're talking about other stuff like WIP limit. Are there specific kind of categories of practices you can break this down into?
Yeah, and where do you start?
That's a good question. Let me answer the frameworks question, and then we'll do the where do you start. So yeah, there's lots of different sort of flavors of agility. The one that everybody's typically heard of is Scrum, and that's way more common in software and IT. I think it's like 98% adoption of Agile in software, and then upwards of 60% of them are using Scrum of some sort. And that's all about the short iterations, right? They call them sprints. We're going to fix our work for the next couple of weeks. We're going to focus in on this amount for those 2 weeks. And then at the end, we should have something releasable and done. And we can move on to the next thing. That gets sticky for marketers because we get interrupted. Like sales needs something. And then like the CMO needs to build this deck. And there's too many like moving pieces that we can't stabilize for 2 weeks. And so there can be problems in that regard. And then Kanban is another option, which is where the WIP limit practice comes from. And that's more of like, let's just keep work moving through the system as continuously and smoothly as we can.
Can you run that name again? There's Scrum and what was the other one?
Kanban, K-A-N-B-A-N.
Kanban, okay.
Yeah. You can say Kanban, like whatever pronunciation is down for you.
Are those acronyms or are they just cool names?
They're just cool names. Scrum comes from like the rugby scrum where everyone like smooshes together to go get the ball. And so that's the idea, like the team is coming together. And then Kanban is a Japanese word for signal card. It comes from like manufacturing where they would have a card that would like go around the assembly line to show like what part was up next. And so
I love that you know the derivations of these. It so helps.
The definition of Japanese words is never as cool as they sound. Like, oh, it means this. You're like, oh, it means a 3x5 card? Okay, wow. I like Kanban. We'll stick with Kanban.
Let's buy some Kanbans.
Yeah, sounds like something I want to have for lunch.
It does, right?
Okay, so we've got the different frameworks you're talking about. There's Scrum, there's Kanban. I really want to get into the different parts of the frameworks.
Yeah.
There's some rules around how the teams work together. There's rules mm-hmm. around, you know, the WIP limit. Where does that come into play? And those kind of break it down in that way. Can you, so regardless of Scrum, Kanban, I guess, do you have a preference out of those two?
It depends on the team and the type of work, but usually I like Kanban better for marketers just because Scrum can be too prescriptive. It has very strict rules about what you do and when you do it and who does it, whereas Kanban's a little more fluid.
Excellent. So then within the general agile marketing, in the spirit of the WIP limit, those kind of rules, do we have some more segments within agile marketing like that?
Yeah. So regardless of the framework that you're using, and KJ, this sort of gets to your how to start question too. Like there's a few basics that you can put in place. And then regardless of whether you decide to use Scrum or Kanban or smoosh them together to make your own magical hybrid of the two, you need a backlog, which is just a to-do list. Like it's the team's prioritized to-do list. So it's not just we have to do all these things, but like this is the first thing we need to do, second, third, fourth, all the way down. And it's like really prioritized, not, well, these two things are about equal, so they're both the top priority. Like that's right. Not okay.
You have to pick, flip a coin, but you got to pick.
Yep. Yep. So we have the list. And then once the team takes the work on, it goes into a board, like a Kanban board. You've probably seen like Trello is a very standard like Kanban flow of things.
Oh yeah. We use Jira here. I think that has a Kanban board in it. Yep.
Yep. Jira is very common. But you can be as simple as like to do, doing, done, right? And you move across and then you would put that WIP limit on your doing column, right? So if we're a team, the three of us are a team, we might decide we need a WIP limit of like 5 or 6 so that we can all be working on a couple things, but we're not getting overloaded. And then we have to push things through the system to get to done before we can start something new.
And you don't want to be left with a bunch of Mona Lisas, basically, a bunch of partially finished masterpieces. You gotta get the jobs done.
Yeah.
Although I guess Mona Lisas wouldn't be that bad. Terrible analogy.
But what happens though is like when you don't have a WIP limit, but you have a nice to-do list, you end up with like 10 things in progress and nothing is done by the end of the day or the end of the week. And so from a marketing perspective, it's really bad because we haven't put anything out into the world. Like we've been really busy as a team writing things and researching things and strategizing, but our audience hasn't seen anything from us because it's not done. It's not out in the world. And so really forcing people to like stop starting, start finishing is a big deal.
Stop starting, start finishing. Let me put that in quotes. That's a good one. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of marketers with philosophy and English degrees that love starting things.
Yeah.
But the finishing it is a kind of important.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We did we do a simulation with teams when we're kind of introducing these concepts. And we did it with a team. And you do the first round, right? And they get everything in progress. And it's really depressing. And nothing gets done. And then you say, well, let's fix it. And you put WIP limits on. And then tons of things move through. But the flip side of that is there's a bunch of stuff still in the to-do list that hasn't gotten started yet. And we worked with a team the other day that was like, I don't know how we're going to handle that. Because people want to feel like you're doing their project, right? If I brought this team work to do, you want to see they're doing it. And so it's hard to get used to. Even if you can see that everything gets done faster,
yeah,
it's hard to feel like I'm not starting on your work right now.
Right, right. Yeah, I know I have people coming to me all the time in my company saying, how come this isn't getting done? How come this? And they'll have 10 priorities. And they're all being worked on. And then they come up with 10 more and they're mad that those aren't being worked on also. And it's like, you got to have priorities. And you have to understand people are working on stuff and it'll get got to when it gets got to. Not as good a wording as yours, but get got to when it gets got to, I have a copyright on. So. Trademark.
But that's a great thing too, like about the board is creating visibility. That's a key part of just agile kind of foundationally is visibility into what's going on. So then when somebody comes to you and says, I need you to do this thing. It's super important. You can say, all right, here's everything else that I've got on my plate. Where does yours really fall? Because it might be the top thing or it might be the bottom. And so they need to be able to see what else is coming down.
Yeah, it really saves the marketing people from taking on just every single thing because someone says it's top priority. And then they don't get the top priority things done.
Sounds like it keeps you out of the rabbit holes too.
Yeah, you spend all your time like chasing the fire and then the big thing, the big strategic thing that would have actually moved the needle for you just doesn't get done.
What's your biggest success in this? Do you have like a story that, you know, where you were like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to take on this client, but you did, you tackled it and it ended up being like you were the hero?
I hope that we help everybody that we work with.
But you got to rank them in order. Come on, rank them in order. Who's the best?
Strictly prioritized. We're nearing the end of a transformation right now that I'm just so proud of the team because we did a pilot team. They're a team of about 40. We did a pilot team of 5. And within 1 week of launching that pilot, they were calling me and saying like, I don't know if this is going to work. Like we're not getting, everyone gave it lip service, right? Yes. Piloting. Yes. We're going to support this and we're all on board. But then as soon as the team was like, okay, great. We're going to go and do this and we'll let you know when we need your feedback. They were like, whoa, wait, what? Like, no, oh, we.
So
we
it wasn't the it team. All. It was the other people, the people above that have to let go. They were the ones.
Oh yeah.
And they were not letting go. And it took 6 weeks of just like coaching and talking and visibility and really like working through the hard stuff. And then just finally we've kind of gotten that impediment moved and they're ready to go. Like we just spun up another agile team. And then I think it'll be next month, we're going to flip the switch and everybody's going to go. Those last few teams are going to go up. And so it was one of those where it was like, okay, we're in a little bit of jeopardy here, but it came through and everybody worked hard, you know, like as a coach or a trainer, I can do some things, but the people who are there 40 hours a week are the ones that really have to like,
they have to do the heavy lifting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was cool that everybody like pulled together and now it's going to be something amazing. And I think they're going to be able to get a lot more done. People are going to be happier. It's going to be a cool thing.
That's a
fantastic.
Good.
So it seems like the teams, I mean, the executives have to let go, but then you're empowering people who maybe didn't felt they had a lack of power before. Do you see a lot of, just employee morale within these teams seems like they have something they own and they have some autonomy and they can actually, they have their own work and purpose rather than being, you know, a cog for the executive overlords. Does that have a big effect? Is that a small part? How much of this agile marketing is the, you know, the satisfaction of the people that are working in it?
You know, from my perspective, I think it's a really big deal. I mean, I was a content creator and I got overloaded and people made crazy demands of me and there were days that really sucked. And we spend a lot of our time at work. And so if you can help individual humans have better working lives, like that's a big deal to me. But then even from the organizational perspective, when you don't have people that are engaged at work and you lose people, like you have high churn in marketing departments, which is like totally a thing, then it's expensive. You know, hiring and onboarding are expensive and you lose organizational knowledge. And so that's a bad thing from the company's perspective too. And I can't tell you how many places we go and they'll show us like the results of employee engagement surveys and marketing's like always at the bottom, right? The marketers are the least happy people in the building.
Is it because they have so many things that they're not finishing? Is it because they're not agile enough? Is that that's what you think it is?
I think that's a lot of it too. And a lot of people don't feel autonomous, right? You're the short order cooks, right? People come to you and they want things and you spit it out and you don't really have any say in what happens or why.
Right. The salespeople are the waiters. They get the tips. The marketing just gets the criticism. So
their morale goes down because they're not getting done what they need to get done. Right. And, you know, production basis of morale. I could see that. It's an interesting thing. I didn't know that.
Okay. This is great. I got a lot more questions to ask you,
okay.
But I want to take a quick break here. We're speaking with, and this is where I butcher the name again. We're speaking with Andrea Freirier. Did I get it right that time?
You're doing great on the last name. The last name's perfect.
I'm trying to say the wrong name wrong because I know I say it wrong, but I think I get it right. Anyway, of Agile Sherpas, and we're talking about agile marketing. And we will be back on the If You Market podcast in just a minute.
Okay, yeah. Well, One2One is the leading day-to-day branding partner for many Fortune 500 companies, either for print or digital. We at One2One believe that tight deadlines in branding shouldn't be a hustle. So our motto is make people shine. We understand that marketing nowadays is difficult and we can help out bringing it out and making all the products and services out there shine. You can find us at www.one2onecorp.com. That's 1-2-1-C-O-R-P.com.
Welcome back to the Iffy Market Podcast. I'm your host, Sky Cassidy. We have Andrea Freirier here with us today of Agile Sherpas talking about agile marketing. Andrea, let me see. We covered a lot in the first half here. Jumping into the second half, can you give us some major do's and don'ts with agile marketing?
Yeah, I think my do for sure is if you are bigger than 30 people in your marketing department, do pilot. Do try this out with one team. The important caveat there is one dedicated team. What you don't want is the agile pilot team, quotey fingers, emphasizing with the quoties, agile in quotation marks, when they are supposed to use agile like 40% of the time and then do their regular work 60% of the time so we can test agile out. That is a recipe for failure. It almost never works.
And what about saying these people are expendable? Let's put them on the agile thing. So you're basically taking your B team and saying, let's test agile with the people that we should have let go 6 months ago.
That's probably not great either. Although they might surprise you. You never know. They may do amazing.
That's an interesting point. So they might be under-motivated and basically disgruntled. And then you put them in the agile and suddenly your low performers are kicking butt. So maybe make your form your team of some of your A team and some of your B team also to see how it affects the performance of those kind of underperformers.
Yeah. Yeah. The most important thing is just to let them go be agile, like to flow work through that team. Everything you need those people to do needs to flow through the agile system. Otherwise, it's really not a good test.
You're not actually testing. Yeah. You're saying, let's test this by kind of every once in a while, doing a little bit of it on the side. And like you said in the first half, the executive team can't be panicking a weekend.
Right. 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 It takes a while to get things running smoothly.
And you mentioned company size of 40 plus or something like that?
Yeah, if your marketing team is about that big, you should definitely pilot. I mean, if you're a team of seven, you're not going to pilot. Like, you're going to go all in together and change the process for everybody. But once you get up to a bigger group, then it's too risky to take everybody.
Makes total sense.
Okay, what else do you have for us? Do's or don'ts, either one.
That was kind of a do and a don't in there. And the other thing I think is, don't get caught up in needing to know everything up front. Like, if you are a bigger team, it can be very tempting to say, well, we can't start anything until we have the perfect transformation, like completely planned out, which is a very not agile thing to do. Like, you need to start, because even each team we coach, we've done this a whole bunch, and everyone is different. There's an idiosyncrasy for the culture, for the team, people have drama about seating locations that you just can't even anticipate until you get started.
Right. So, I have to sit next to KJ. Come on. She eats loud. I have no idea if that's true. Okay, great. So it seems like that's kind of within the theme of agile marketing as well.
No, I have a question.
Basically saying, get things done. Don't try to plan everything out. You have to start working and getting things done. You can't have every detail down. That's just not within the spirit of it.
Yeah.
What's the biggest pain points that people, when they come to you, what are the top three pain points when they come to you that they're thinking they need agile marketing?
So they are moving too slowly, and yet they're moving all the time. Like, everyone's crazy busy and maxed out, and yet everything takes a really long time to get done.
Okay. That makes total sense. Yep.
So the whole marketing process is like bottlenecked?
Yeah. Yeah. Bottleneck is a common word that we hear as well. Another is basically, we need to do more with less. Like, we're not going to get a bigger budget. We're not going to get headcount, but we've still got to move the needle and make progress. So agile is often seen as the solution to that problem, which it can be. And then I think probably number three is going to be, my CMO told me I have to do this, and please tell me what.
Gotcha.
It seems anti-agile marketing. The executives told me exactly what to do, and it was implement agile marketing so they don't have to tell me what to do anymore. Which I imagine if they come to you with that, I've been instructed to implement agile marketing. Do you still see the executives panicking and not wanting to let go of control after they've requested specifically that?
Sometimes. It depends on if the executive knew what they were asking for. Like, sometimes when they say agile, they just mean do more with less, or they mean do stuff faster.
By agile marketing, they meant we're cutting your budget.
They don't realize that they've been asked to give their teams more autonomy. And then when they bring someone like me in who's like, so good job, we're going to give the teams autonomy and empowerment, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what I signed up for. So.
I saw a buzzword online and I said, we need that. Someone said, we use agile marketing to do more with less. And they said, great, I don't know what it is, but that's a mandate to implement it. I love it when people have those kind of the elevator pitch for their company is very generic, where you can't tell what it is. And yet somebody grabs onto it and says, yes, we need that, because they said some things and keywords. I really like the sound of more revenues. That sounds great. Let's implement this. And you're like, you don't know what it means, though. You want to implement agile marketing, but you're a control freak and a micromanager. You don't know what it means yet. Mm-hmm. Have you had clients that hire you and then change their mind when they realize that, oops, we didn't know what we were getting into, and
like we're not ready
consult
for
consult with
yet,
you, or... and you tell them like, hey, is this what you really want? And they're like, oh no.
But yeah, there have been a few where we'll come in and we'll do like a 2-day introductory workshop. You know, here's what it really means and here's how it works and here's what you would have to do. And some people will, like, you'll get the email from the CMO or the VP the next couple of days and be like, yeah, we're not ready for that yet. That's usually what they say. Like, we're not ready for that yet. Like, there's going to be a time when they feel less micromanagerial. But yeah, no, it happens. And I would rather that, you know, because you don't want to be
in the middle of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like them basically saying, yeah, I like that diet. So veganism, again, that means no meat? Maybe not. So like none at all, not even on like certain days of the week. Oh, never mind. Okay. Any more big kind of landmines to watch out for type stuff?
Yeah, I think just like, kind of like you're saying, assuming that you don't have to change much of anything and yet you're going to get all the benefits of agility. It's like assuming you're not going to diet or exercise, but you're magically going to lose weight. Like right. You're going to have to make some hard choices. About
I hired the trainer. Where's my muscles?
That's right. Well, it seems like that these are changes that marketers want, but it might be hard for them, you know, even though they see the benefits of it, right? It might be very hard for them too. Like, yeah. And then once they get into it, it's like, I don't know if I can eat broccoli every night.
Yeah.
I love the idea of it, but the practice is really hard. So as a practice, agile marketing, is this something that's pretty engraved in stone, how it works and what it does, or is it transitioning? Is it changing? Is it different now than it was a couple of years ago? And if so, where is it going? What's the future of it?
Yeah, it's a really exciting movement in a lot of ways, because 5 years ago when I got into it for the first time, everyone was talking about Scrum, excuse me, and nobody was talking about anything else. It was like, oh, well, you just read the Scrum guide and then you go do exactly what it says. And so a bunch of people did that. And then a lot of us were like, that didn't work at all. Thanks for the advice, but this is not what we needed. We need a little bit of that, but then we also need this stuff from Kanban, and we need to incorporate more like lean principles. We've got to get more flexible, more agile about how we do agile. And so that's a change. That's really changed a lot in the last, I would say probably 2 years. We've really come a long way in that regard as more people do it, right? More people are trying it, more people are learning and sharing, and you get more case studies.
It's customizable for the different companies, right? I mean, what they're going to use, how they're going to use it. I mean, it is not a cookie cutter approach at all from what I'm hearing.
It shouldn't be. But there are still some trainers out there who are like, I know Scrum, that's all I want to know. And so I'm going to tell you marketers, like, this is all you should be doing. Especially if you have a coach that's only worked with IT and they're like, well, this works every time. Why
would
maybe
it really worked for them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It reminds me of Bruce Lee and his fighting strategy. The having no, you know, what is your style? The style is no style. You have to adapt to whatever the situation is. So you're saying it's not going to be the exact same formula for every single situation, for every single company. You have to be, the whole point, I guess, it's agile. You have to be fluid. for what you're working with. So, I mean, the general idea is to be agile, but are the major principles also changing and evolving? Is tech influencing that much or at all?
I think that the principles and the values and sort of the reason behind it all is still fundamentally the same and is a lot like the reasons that software went agile 2 decades ago. You know, there's reasons why we work this way, and because marketing's so much more digital, we act a lot more like developers. Agile helps us a lot more than it would have 20 years ago. So there's a lot of intersections happening there, but when you're looking at building fundamentally agile organizations, you know, when you look at groups like Spotify, Amazon, you know, these bigger kind of leading groups, everyone's working this way. And it's because they all believe in the same principles of how work is supposed to get done and how teams are supposed to operate and what leadership looks like. And so then it stops mattering whether you have WIP limits on your board or not, or whether you have a retrospective every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. Like the actual practices stop mattering as much as why are we doing these things and what behaviors enable that value system to come to life.
Interesting. I was listening to a podcast just this morning, and the guy was talking about leadership and about being in a certain size company, and when he was instructed that he needs to lead through influence more than instruction. And this seems kind of like that, rather than saying, here's your to-do list. His job was really, he said that the company was too big. And once you get into a big organization, you know, giving the to-do list down through everybody and
God, that's just exhausting.
Instructing everything out. He said, yeah. And it doesn't work because everybody's going to start pushing back, because now the VP and the director, you're telling them exactly what to do. It's like, no, you got to let them do their job. You just have to influence, give them major overriding ideas and some directives and whatnot. So having, you know, written the book on the death of a marketer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you have some beef possibly with some aspects of marketing. I'm wondering, in the agile marketing, is there anything you would like to see die in agile marketing? Is there anything that you dislike or just flat out hate in agile marketing?
One of my least favorites is you have an agile marketing team and somebody comes in and says, I need you to do this thing right now because I forgot to tell you last week that it was due and now it's on fire and you need to deal with it. And you should be able to do that because you're agile now. As if there's there's some like magical power that's conveyed, but that's not at all.
Well, you are supposed to be flexible. Come on. Sometimes things come up, stuff happens.
Yes. So, and that's an agile value, right? Responding to change over following the plan is an actual agile value, but we do so when there's an advantage attached to that change. So you got to come to me and tell me, sure, this is going to help our customers in amazing ways. Great. I'll respond to that change. No problem. But if it's because you forgot and now you really need my help, like that's not a change that I need to respond to.
So you're saying you've got to smash it up against the priorities list and say, why does it belong above these other things? If it's just that you're going to look bad or something isn't going to work as well that you're doing overall for the company, why is this suddenly a higher priority?
Yeah. Where's the value in the switch, right? Because it is a switch. Like we were working on something and you're asking us to change and there's a cost associated with that switch. And so you need to show me that it's worth that change and not just try to like press constant change onto an agile team because they have an agile at the start of their name. So
they're coming in saying you're supposed to be agile, handle this. And you're countering with, yes, but we also have a WIP limit and we also don't multitask. So you're asking us to add more multitasking into here. And then it seems like, what do? You arm wrestle, do you duke it out? Do you get into a real scrum? How do you solve that problem?
Yeah, ideally you have someone on the team who we would call them a marketing owner, but you can call them whatever you want. And they are supposed to be able to make that call, like to say, yes, this has value compared to the other work that the team is doing. So, and it's not always an additive thing either. So they can say, okay, this is actually important. Therefore, this other thing is coming off the list, right? I'm not going to ask you to just keep adding things on. We're going to make a deliberate choice of making that trade-off.
Do you ask them, okay, what do you want to kill? If this is so much important, what thing on the list would you kill? Where would you put
it? And then they have to go tell that person that they just killed their project.
Is that where, I mean, one of the things, you're a Scrum Master, is that the Scrum Master's job to settle those kind of disputes?
That would be more of a product owner role in the traditional Scrum setting. But yeah, I mean, again, the naming conventions don't translate to marketing oftentimes. So just having somebody there. Because what you don't want to do is have every single person on the team having to have those conversations multiple times a week. That's a huge waste of time. And most of the time you want people just go do the work and don't worry about if it's the right work. You want somebody whose job it is to decide if it's the right work.
So what's the change you suggest? I mean, you're saying this is a problem within agile marketing. Does there need to be some sort of shame element added to the handbook? Like, how do you deal with people if they, let's say you have the element, somebody forgot something and it's actually important and it belongs somewhere in your list. If this person is doing this regularly, are they off the Scrum team? Are they out of the agile marketing team? Do they go back and report to the executives? Like, how do you handle that? What changes do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that is urgent, right, there's always opportunities or issues that we can't predict and that do have value and need to be dealt with. When that happens, though, documentation and visibility is really important. So you can be able to say, we got 3 fire drills in during this sprint, right? And here they are. You can see where they came in during the sprint tracking. And therefore, we did not finish these 3 things that we thought we were going to get to. So now we know, right, the impact that those interruptions have had on the team's output. And then it becomes like, okay, next time someone brings in an interruption, we can say, well, it's likely we're not going to get this other thing done. Is that okay? If it is, great. If not, then we're able to have that trade-off conversation instead of just saying yes to everything, which can feel nice at the time, but as we talked about with WIP limits, what it really means is now everything takes longer because I said yes to this.
Everything gets piled. Right. There's your dissatisfaction. There's your low engagement. It's probably overwhelm, you know?
Yeah, and from the stakeholders' point of view, it's bad too because their project is going to be late because I took the 5th thing.
Right. So exactly. Is there some form of app, let's say you run a sprint and you go through all this stuff and you know, you have some issues, you have some things get thrown in, taken out. Is there an element of like an autopsy at the end where you look back and you can say, okay, we had 5 things on the board, 3 of them got replaced with things that we didn't either were forgotten or didn't realize this was going to come up. How do we prevent that from happening in the future? Or
The retrospective meeting is super important. And every agile team needs to have them. If I get to coach them, I tell them every 2 weeks, period, non-negotiable. Some people go longer, but then you forget, right? You forget all the things that happened 4 or 5 weeks ago. But it's a time to just talk process. You know, it's not a complaint session or anything like that. It's what happened. If it was a problem, how can we fix it? If it was a positive event, how can we do things that are more like that and build on that success? But it has to be a deliberate pause, right? Because as marketers, we're really good at like racing from one campaign to the next and really not pausing to think or track or measure or anything.
So you're pausing during the process or when a sprint's over, you're pausing, or is that the same thing?
Yeah, if you're doing Scrum, you're doing sprints, you would pause at the end of every sprint. So every couple of weeks you stop. If you're doing Kanban, you don't have time boxes like that. And so you would just have it as a recurring event. You could do it that way, like every other Friday we do this, or you can do it event-based. So every time we release a campaign, we're going to stop and do a retro that way too.
Interesting. All right.
It sounds like just a really organized way to do project management for marketers.
It's very nice and organized. I'm very type A, which is probably why I like it. But there's also a lot of, it's like a dance, you know, there's also a lot of kind of interplay of things happening as well.
Well, you know, marketing is that way. It has to be fluid. You know, even a strategy, you know, you were talking about laying out a strategy for, you know, this, or we're going to do it come hell or high water. That's really not very practical because things do change. Markets change. All of a sudden issues change with your target audiences. You have to be super fluid.
So is this the new, better way of doing marketing that everyone should structure as, or does it apply to some companies and situations and not quite to others? So I guess, is there room in the market or in within companies for this? Is there room within marketing styles for this? Or is this just something that everybody, this is how they should be doing it? And if they're not, they're not as efficient or whatnot.
Honestly, I think everyone should be using it. I mean, we've worked with so many different sizes of teams, types of marketing work, industries that they work in. Everyone should do it. Like, it makes your life better. You get more done in less time. It's better for the company. It's better for the individuals on the team. Like, everybody wins, and all work can flow through this type of system if you're flexible about it, right? If you're a creative services team, you're going to look more like a Kanban team. If you're
so it's not a new style that applies sometimes, it's a straight up evolution of marketing.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Coming to that, and we also mentioned you were saying when they're doing the retrospective, I like to call it an autopsy because it's more morbid. When you're doing the retrospective, people forget sometimes things that were happening. And I imagine, I think we use Jira here, maybe a couple other even programs for managing this kind of stuff. I remember seeing the word Kanban in there as one of the ways to look at stuff and wondering what it was and moving on. Now I know it's a 3x5 card or something like that. Text. It seems like something like Jira really helps you look back when you're doing that retrospective and say, oh yeah, remember this happened? What kind of text should people be using? What do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to have technology, but it really is nice, especially if you're doing a lot more work. You can go super simple, like Trello. It's free. It takes like 30 seconds to build a board. They're nice and easy. That would be the lightweight version. And then there's a lot more pieces of MarTech that are trying to support agile marketing because it is increasingly the way people do business. And so tools I know of that work well are CoSchedule, Aprimo, Workfront. These are all actively trying to support agile marketing as a thing. And then there's more traditional like agile tools. Like if you're doing Kanban, there's Lean Kits and Kanbanize and Swift Kanban that are built to run Kanban systems.
Are any of those specifically for marketing? Because I know a lot of them came from the software development and IT area.
Yeah, none of them are marketing specific.
I see an opening.
Yeah, right? We need more marketing technology. I see your giant link behind you there. Like, we need more on there.
I mean, there's not... You're saying there's not a platform, and I'm sure some people will reach in and say, no, we do this. This is exactly great. We'll post you if you do that. Let everybody know if you're developing an agile platform just for marketing. But you're saying right now they're all kind of, we're using agile platforms that are designed for software people or for organizations at large and not specifically for marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're listening and you want to build one, like, please
go for it. Please
come find me. I will help you develop it. But like nobody's done it yet.
Wow. Okay. That's the first on the show. We've never had a nobody's done it. And again, I bet you some people are working on it, but yeah, reach out to Andrea and I would love to see that coming around. Okay. Anything else you want to cover before, I think we're running out of time here before we wrap up, Andrea, anything else on agile marketing or just anything for fun you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. I will say, like, we do a survey every year and ask marketers about agility and things. And the biggest hurdle that comes up every time is education and lack of knowledge. So, like, if you heard anything today that you're interested in, go learn about it. There's so many opportunities to learn. There's webinars and conferences and
podcasts.
There's podcasts.
There's whole companies.
There are entire training organizations that can help you. But like whether you want to pay a trainer or come to a certification class or anything like that, great. But if not, like there's free ways to learn and don't just read one badly informed article that tells you to follow the Scrum guide. Like, please don't stop there because it won't work. And then that will be sad. So, educate yourself.
Scrum is one structure?
One flavor. There's lots of others.
And not even your favorite. Okay. I know Scrum is not like a company, right? They're not going to come after us if I say you prefer.
Well, the Scrum Alliance is a thing. And uh-oh. I love you, Scrum Alliance people, if you're listening. I love your conferences and I love your marketing team. So
the Scrum, when you say that, now I get scared. All right, we're going to edit out anything we said about Scrum not being the best. I did not want to deal with this, something called the Scrum Alliance. All right. Well, if anybody wants to find Andrea.
Andrea, you did it right.
Okay.
You did it.
To find her, obviously, you can go look her up on LinkedIn. And also, she has a book, Death of a Marketer. You can find that on Amazon. Also, you have an audiobook on Audible, and I'm sure in other places. Thank you for doing that. I love the audiobooks. And also the Agile Sherpa blog at agilesherpas.com/resources. And we'll put all this on the show notes on the show notes as well. Anything else you want to throw out there, ways people can contact you or things you want people to know about?
Yeah, we do certifications at Agile Sherpas. So like if you want to get serious about learning stuff, we have online version, in-person trainings that are publicly available. We do those several times a year. So they're all on the website, but they're just great ways to get an overview of all this stuff. Scrum, Kanban, all that good stuff without having to go hunt everything down on the internet. Yeah.
Just don't even look it up. Just call Andrea up and say, hey, we want to implement whatever that thing was that you do with Agile marketing. And then worry about whether you really want it later. No, look those things up. If you want to do more with less, look into it. It sounds like it is the future of marketing and the way everybody should be structuring stuff. So fantastic. Well, again, thank you everybody for listening. You can find all this information on the show notes, all the information on Andrea Freirier of Agile Sherpas on ifyoumarket.com.
Andrea, this has been great. Thank you very much.
Did it, yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Okay, so on behalf of Carla Jo Helms and the If You Market team and Andrea Freirier of Agile Sherpas, thank you for listening to the If You Market podcast, where we believe if you market the shit out of it with agile marketing, they will come.
The If You Market podcast is brought to you by Mountaintop Data. And at Mountaintop Data, we're all about data for B2B marketing. Our goal is to improve the quality, depth, and coverage of our clients' targeted marketing data while removing the technical pain of accessing and implementing data. We help with everything from new target contacts to appending and cleaning existing data, all with the goal to free you and your team up to focus on creating great marketing experiences. Check us out online at mountaintopdata.com and sign up for our new Top Data Search tool and get free access to search our database of over 30 million business contacts. Use the code #IYM when signing up and get 200 free credits.